Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Lovely Runner episodes 7 and 8. Our fave couple are out of high school, legs are working, idols are alive. Is it happily ever after for these two? Let's find out.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah. I'm good. I'm just eating pizza here. Don't mind me.
By the way, guys, it's 11 o'clock.
This is my breakfast and lunch. This is my stopgap. I was actually supposed to be right now getting my hair did, but I canceled it to do this recording.
Oh, guys.
I know.
Do you hear this?
I know.
The sacrifice we're making.
If I'm out and about in the world looking bad, it's all y'all's fault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, I checked our Spotify this morning because I got an alert that somebody had left a comment. Because with Spotify, there's a little box that comes up that says, like, what did you think about this episode? Mm-hmm. And some fool left a 2. And I was like, okay, this could have been like a, you know, a butt dial type of situation, maybe accidentally. I hope you are not telling us that we're a 2 out of 5 because we're making some serious sacrifices out here.
I know. My hair, like I usually do a balayage situation. It is so grown out. My roots are down to my ears. I usually have, you know, my lightened summer Asian party girl hair all ready right now. It's July 4th. Got to go away for the weekend. Instead, I have sacrificed my
Who my will looks. You look like? You're going to look like Tuesday?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to look like the Addams Family. You're always on the self-care journey. I have made less of my life centered around self-care, but I am taking steps. I'm getting my mammogram finally.
Oh!
I'm a year late. I've had the order, like, you know, you're supposed to call the center and whatever. I just haven't done it. So
yeah.
I'm going to get my boobs smushed.
Good. Get felt up a little.
I also got some Crest White strips.
Okay.
I saw my nephew who's 2 and his baby teeth are so sparkling white. And I was like, oh my God, I need 2-year-old baby teeth again.
Oh.
So I'm going to whiten those puppies.
I take care of myself in a lot of ways, but somehow I feel like you can't tell when you look at me.
You're doing internal work.
I do a lot of internal work. I do also whiten my teeth regularly. Oh. I feel like because I drink so much coffee, it's negating the progress.
Are you using strips?
No, I use essentially the same type of thing where it's a gel, but I just leave it on for like 5 minutes and I just keep my mouth open like this. And then I rinse it out.
Why is that better than the strips? What aren't strips easier? You could just walk around without grinning like the Joker.
It was just a cheaper option.
I don't know when it's like time to put gel in your mouth that you're ingesting, if going the cheaper way is the best option.
Right.
When we're putting poison in our mouth, maybe we should go with a higher end poison.
$5 extra. Mm-hmm. As a follow-up to last week, so, you know, we were talking about how my son has been desperate to know the F word. He found out what it was from your daughter, but
it was the wrong word.
Not the right word, but they got the gist, right? And then,
so again, if you haven't heard us from last week, my daughter told her innocent son that the F word is fuckering.
Yeah.
And we think it's because she hears her dad say, fuck me.
You're right.
So that is that's the background.
So this week, my husband was taking the kids to ice cream and my daughter was like, I want to go to the place that has a pho. And that triggered something in my son's brain and he goes, by the way, is the bad word king pho? So he's inching closer and closer. Because then this time he said, that's what your daughter told him. Okay. So now they're like, maybe they're ping-ponging, brainstorming, trying to figure it out.
I love this ideation session between these 2 6-year-olds. They have like a whiteboard up with like dry erase markers and all these diagrams with letters.
It reminds me, remember one of our friends was videotaping them sitting on the bouncy house and they were eating their popsicles, looked like the most innocent interaction.
It looked like a scene out of a K-drama.
It
like
did.
2 kids who are fated for each other in 20 years.
Right, right. They're thinking back to this moment and actually all they were doing was like, is it fuckering? Is it king pho?
Okay, so but the king pho is also hilarious because we have a restaurant near us that's called Pho King. Like it's a pho noodle shop. And so she's heard us say it. And I think she's must have heard her sister say, oh, can we call it something else? Or like, that's a bad word. So, but she's mixed it up and twisted it to King Fa. We're going to know the moment your kid figures out this word, because he's going to be screaming it up and down the street.
Time. Well, my husband and I, just joking, we're like, he cannot hang out with her again. You know, like, she's
slowly adulterating him, but it's very slow.
I know. It's so slow. Inching one weekend at a time.
I love the workshopping sessions they're having. And, you know, it's building teamwork.
That's right. And resilience, you know.
And deduction.
Right.
So there's a lot of skills being gained here.
Yeah. They're not giving up.
No. And they have to hang out together because they are, like Sol and Sanjay, fated. It's a destiny for these two. Yeah. We have some friends that married each other after being like this, best friends from childhood, right, because their parents were best friends. And so, you know, we're always like, oh, you joke around that it's going to happen, but, you know, likely it's definitely not going to happen. Yeah. But these kids are in the same neighborhood. They see
same
each other
school
almost all the time, yep, having dinner. We just had dinner at your house last night. So I don't know. We can check back in here.
Yes. This may become the in-law podcast.
But, you know, it's also like they can't get together too early. Like, we don't want them dating in high school.
Exactly. Right. You want them to go out, experience life. And then, like, they're 27, 28. And they're like, oh, my gosh, haven't seen you in forever. But we used to be best friends.
And you've been here all along.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We're writing it already. But, you know, the thing is also, my daughter is a total, and this is a term that comes up in this drama, and I've heard it in many romantic K-dramas, is a bulldozer.
I'm sorry. A what? A bulldozer?
Yes.
Did it come up in this drama?
He says the translation was, you're still a bulldozer, but I've heard it in other, so I don't actually think he says bulldozer in this one.
That sounds quite French.
The other dramas, they call them bulldozer. My daughter is definitely going to be a bulldozer, and I don't think your sweet son is going to be able to handle that in high school.
I'm trying to look up this word, but I'm...
They say bulldozer, but they just say it with a Korean accent.
Bulldozer?
Yeah, like that. I swear. Okay. So I typed in how to say bulldozer in Korean. It goes bulldozer.
It's probably bulldozer. But the crazy thing is there's a movie called The Girl on a Bulldozer, and it's the same girl that is starring in Lovely Runner, Kim Hae-yoon. And she's the lead in this... Wow, what a full circle moment.
But also, is it bulldozer? Is the characters in the title?
The title is 불도저의 탄소녀.
See?
You're right.
Okay, so I didn't say it right. I said bulldozer, but...
That sounds French.
Very close. It's French because I've been watching a sports documentary on Netflix. It's called Tour de France Unchained. It's season 2 of the Tour de France documentary, but amazing. Just like an amazing watch if you like sports documentaries. I highly recommend it, but a lot of it's in French, so maybe that's where my French accent's coming from. Right. Usually my Korean accent is spot on.
Yes, absolutely. I never laugh at the way you speak Korean.
Today I'm off. Today I've got a French lilt. So let's dive into episodes 7 and 8. As I have said every week since we started the show, I love this show so much. I can't explain it. I don't know what it is that just...
I feel so much more compelled to continue watching than I have in the previous dramas we've watched.
Yeah. And we're here on episode 8, so we're halfway through, and I don't have quite the usual lull I feel in episode 8. Maybe it's coming, but I feel like it's been hitting for 8 episodes.
Yeah. As a young kid say, it ate. But I really felt like every time the lull would come, something would happen.
Yeah.
So there was no opportunity to feel like, ugh, this is the same trope again.
Yep. And they take a lot of similar tropes, but kind of just spice it up a little bit. And so it doesn't feel as rote as maybe some of the other dramas. Let's start with timelines. We open episode 7, seeing what actually happened to Sol, finally, in the original timeline. In the original 2008 timeline, she falls asleep on the bus like we've also seen before. Except there, Sanjay's with her. He stays with her till the end of the line, but he gets distracted and she gets off the bus.
Yeah.
And she, at this point, has no idea who he is. She gets off at child abduction, murder, reservoir, bus stop. Evil cabbie gets her, ties her up, yada yada. She escapes like we've seen in flashbacks. He hits her.
Sedan of doom.
Our favorite K-drama trope. She goes flying like a rag doll. into the river.
Yes.
Sanjay sees this, saves her.
And he sees the cabbie. Like, they make eye contact.
Right.
So Sanjay dives into the river, and the police were able to get the evil cabbie, and they arrest him.
Yes. So in the original timeline, the cabbie is in jail. By the time that we get to the bridge on New Year's Eve after the concert in the original timeline, like, the cabbie is non-factor.
Right.
He just set in motion the fact that Sol has no use of her legs and she still just doesn't know Sanjay.
Right.
That's the original timeline. Check. And then the timeline we're living in now, Sol has gone back, changed the future. She's still in her second trip.
Yeah. And the last scene we saw in episode 6 was where her mom got sick and she had told Sanjay, please leave.
Yeah.
I need to figure this out. You need to go live your life. I don't want to be a burden to you, you know, but to him, that was like a big breakup. That's where we left off.
We also left off. She gets abducted in the rain.
Right. Yes. So in the new timeline.
Yes. In this new timeline on her second trip, she wanted to stay inside because she knew this was the day of her quote unquote accident. So she wanted to stay inside, but it's raining. She was supposed to go meet Sanjay at the park. She takes her yellow umbrella out and the cabbie comes to her house and swipes her. So now in the second new timeline, again, mm-hmm. the cabbie is a problem. He still grabs her. She's in the back, hands tied again. But this time she knows what to do. I mean, if I were her, I would have, you know, had like box cutters with me yes. and like mace.
Like the spray pepper gel.
But she definitely gets out of the back of the car. And this time she grabs the key out of the ignition so he can't run her down.
Yeah.
Of course, bad cabbie has a truck of doom.
Of course. It's the truck of doom we've seen.
Yeah, the dump truck.
The half bed, like not that big.
Yes. Again, a very classic K-drama trope. She makes it to the road. She thinks it's a truck of doom. We think it's a truck of doom. It's not. It's just another car. It turns out to be Detective Kim, who is bad boy Kim Tae-sung's
dad.
Sanjay runs up. She's alive. Watch glitches. 누구야? 어디야? Like, where am I? Who are you?
Blank Your Korean memory. Is getting so good.
Thank you. And that's it. So that is the accident in the two timelines. We finally set the record straight. So most of episode 7 is both of them as adults. She wakes up on Jan 1, 2023. So she has her legs, and this is the day after Sanjay had jumped in the original timeline. Right. So he's alive.
Yes.
So she changed that fate.
Right.
So we think. But in this life, she doesn't know Sanjay at all, even as a pen.
Yeah, she's not obsessed with him. Her previous obsession came from him calling when she had her paralyzed legs. This time she's like lived her normal life. The last breakup she had with him in high school at that hospital when her mom had cancer, that was kind of the last that she had seen of him. She's gone on to live her dream. She has this beautiful job at this.
At the ADA non-compliant office.
Production company.
She's looking gorgeous.
That's what I want my hair to look like.
I know. Perfect waves. No bangs, thank God.
I know. Although, do you have the Dyson?
The hair wrap?
The hair wrap.
No.
I'm wondering if that's what we need. The women that I know whose hair look good, they all seem to have the hair wrap. And it looks like it gives it that blown out look.
Yeah.
So that's going to be my next, maybe that'll be the investment we need to make.
Well, Prime Day is coming up, so put that on your Prime Day list.
Right.
She's looking fab. I mean, Sanjay. Oh, my God.
He looks a little greasy to me.
The adult Sanjay, and when we flash back to high school Sanjay, definitely, they make him look a lot fresher.
A lot fresh, just like, yeah, something really about him. Now, this older one feels like, he just feels a little sleazy.
But he's really channeling that idol without, yeah. You know, yeah.
And I will say his acting is quite good because you can set, there's a different energy here than the depressed Sanjay.
Yeah.
And then the high school Sanjay is like meek and he, you know, is like in his head a lot. This one is very confident.
And so as she seems to be getting closer and closer to changing his fate for the better, right? He in this life is not depressed.
Yeah.
He is getting along very well with his bandmates.
Yeah.
As she's kind of pushing him in the direction she wants him to go, she's actually taking him out of her original life more and more.
Yeah. Which I think was never her intention to be in love with him or to get him as a lover. It was just like, I want to save him because I know he's suffering.
Yeah.
Which feels very weighty. Like to put that on one person and be like, you're the savior. Anyway.
I mean, look, I'm sacrificing my hair for you guys. Soul equally is sacrificing her fate and love of her life for this man's destiny. You know, same, same.
Same. But she doesn't know that she's in love with him, really.
She has now spent enough time with Sanjay as a person that, you know, at first my whole thing about her was like, she actually only loves him because of the stuff she knew about him on the internet and as a fan. But now she actually, her memories of him are not of him singing at concerts or on TV doing interviews. So I think she's realizing in this 2023 now that she actually really does love him.
Yep.
But the tragedy is she can't be with him.
And it's almost like everything around her is giving her the sign that she cannot, like, is separating the two of them.
Yeah.
So we go through all of these scenes where there's all these obstacles.
Lots of obstacles. They're all fun. I think I have a what's up with Granny. This Granny, you know, she's the happiest senile person I've ever seen. But, you know, it feels like in these time slip dramas, we always need kind of a guide. Like we saw it in Marry My Husband.
Yeah.
The dead dad taxi driver was her guide. Granny shows moments of clarity.
Yeah.
With Soul where she's like, you're walking again.
Yes.
And like she was the one who brought her the watch. Like, you know, she was wearing Sanjay's watch in the original.
Maybe she's straddling somewhere between the afterlife and Earth.
Or like her memory isn't on this like linear plane. Yeah. She goes back and forth a lot so she can kind of like see these time erasers. So love Granny, need Granny around.
So because Soul goes back to find the time capsule. And as this is so classic Korea, everything has been bulldozed away.
Literally.
Literally. Because there's so much development happening. And my mom will say this. She doesn't like going to Korea very much because usually if you go back to your hometown, you're like, oh, I'm going to go visit my old school, my old house, whatever. She's like, everything is gone.
Right. There's no more memories there. Yeah.
They're all just high-rise buildings.
The day that she lands back in 2023 is Jan 1. This is the day that she's supposed to meet him on the bridge at night at midnight. And she doesn't get there in time. She's very late.
Yeah.
And he's not there. And so there's a lot of like hijinks in episode 7. There's this a girl in a white puffer who's stalking Sanjay. Another what's up with. First of all, like, what is the security in this building that this white puffer child is running around?
But she's instrumental in all of, like, as much of it's a very much a what's up with and here we go again. But I feel like they do a pretty good job in this drama of everything being pretty intentional. And so, of course, Soul has the same jacket as her. They mistake Soul as the stalker, so they end up getting it's crazy,
right? Like however much she tries to push them away in real life, they seem to be coming back together with different ties. So everything comes to a head because she finds out at the police station that actually that concert, that reuniting concert
on January 1st,
hasn't happened yet.
Yes,
it got delayed in this life. So she's nervous again.
That whenever the night of the concert is the night that he's going to try to commit suicide again.
So she shows up outside the concert hall and all the same things happen.
She can't get in. Somebody runs into her and her phone screen shatters.
It starts to snow. What she does do before this train of events is that she leaves a basket of yellow flowers and a note with her card on it. Again, what is with the ugly flowers on these dramas? Every drama we have, we're like, those are the most hideous flowers I've ever seen.
What were those, carnations?
It was like a basket.
Those look like, and also they look like the weeds that we get outside of our house.
You totally, know, those yellow, like those little daisy looking weeds. I don't know, maybe that's like a specific like fan basket thing. Mm. I don't know, maybe it's something there.
They wasted all their budget on the umbrellas. They couldn't pay any money for the flowers.
So she's now taking all of these signs, like takes it as a bad omen. She runs over to the Han River Bridge, which is where they first met in the first timeline, or the big black umbrella.
Yes.
She takes out her
yellow umbrella.
I mean, again, like her name is Soul. And she has a yellow scarf. It's like she's just like sun, you know, in this like dreary.
Soul looking for the sun.
Yeah.
Jay.
She gets a call. She picks up. He says, it's me.
And she turns around.
I nearly freaking died. I shrieked out loud. It's me? Like, what a flex. It's not like, hey, how are you?
It's been 15 years.
It's just, it's me. And she knows it's him. She turns around and he's there. I'm just going to be dead after this show. The show's going to kill me.
I was biting my shirt. The entire end of episode 7 leading to 8, I was just like, what is happening?
You are so rabid sometimes. You know, in Queen of Tears, I swear this married couple were like, Baekhyun Woo Shi.
Yeah,
like,
they were talking so formally to each other.
And these guys are just like real. They're just feel very believable. He's just like, yo, it's me, dog. Like, long time no see. I mean, she turns around. The snow is falling. They have this totally believable exchange. It's been a long time.
But you know what's unbelievable about this is that do you really think that people are thinking about a person from high school, like 15 to 20 years later, and then you get a call and your high school boyfriend's like, it's me. You'd be like, who?
This is why it's such a fucking flex.
It's a flex, but it's just, oh, I wonder though, for Koreans, do you think it is real that they really pine after this like first love?
I feel like because maybe dating is so limited, you get one or two chances in Korea and that's it, you know? But the thing is about the It's Me, It's a Me Mario.
It's a Me Mario.
Throwback to
our very first episode.
For him to say it's me, like he's actually banking on the fact that
she knows him and she has been pining for him in the same way.
But that's why it's such a flex and that's why I died, because it was so good in her face. And then in a twist of the original bridge encounter, she takes her yellow umbrella, puts it over him.
Because yeah. she knows. She's like, I'm going to protect him.
Oh, okay. So that was episode 7. So episode 8, the umbrella scene on the bridge with the yellow umbrella. She's nervous that he's going to leave and something bad's going to happen this night. So she's like, grabs his arm and says, stay with me tonight.
Yes.
So what is this translation? Because it says, let's be together all night. Is it like, let's be together, like it, insinuating?
It's not insinuating sex. I mean, the literal translation is like, let's just be together. Let's stay together. But I think the insinuation that everyone is getting, like her mom is like, I'm sorry, what? You're sleeping where? And he was like, you're going to spend the night here? So I think there is an insinuation that they would be sleeping together. But when she says it out loud, it's very like, I'm just going to stay with you.
So he takes her to the hotel. She thinks they're going up to the suite.
Right.
And she gives him this speech like, oh, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with two consenting adults. But, you know, I'm very conservative, so I don't want to. But hey, no judgment, right?
Yeah.
And then even later, she finds like a cutout of
like a anime character.
Yeah, like a dominatrix on his bed. And she's like, no problem. You know, you're
like,
single.
What single man doesn't have something like that?
Right. And so she's just like, no judgment. I think they make her very much as a modern woman, but like can still keep her virginal.
Yes.
Where in other shows, like they're very, like the lead woman never would
something like Marry My Husband, actually both of them, Marry My Husband and Queen of Tears, the lead females were almost felt asexual.
Yeah.
Right? Because
like, it's never
like,
even so occurred
pure.
To them.
Yeah. But the villain in Marry My Husband, Soo-min that seduced the lead's husband, she was the vixen, right? She was like almost so over the top.
Right. Very sexy. Yeah.
But you're like, right.
Touching penises.
Yeah, I know.
Right. But they always make
ball
the lead.
Ball sacks, you know.
Ball sacks in the hands.
In the hands.
Mm-hmm. They make the lead like always has to be very virginal. And they do this with her, but also make her modern.
Yeah, we all masturbate to cutouts.
You know, that's why you have that big tissue box by your bed. Like, good.
That's what
good
that Vaseline is for.
Keeping things clean. In this conversation, she's like, you know, I'm very conservative. I'm not here for a translation. Was S night Dilbum? Digulbum?
That's what they said. That's what they said. Say
again.
That again.
Dilbum? Or digumbum? I think it's like. It's like, what's bum? Is bum anything?
Pam. Was it Pam?
Yes.
That's
yes.
Night. Pam is night.
Hung bum
suck. Bum suck.
Hung bum suck. Okay, so palm is night. And then I think digowa, you know, like hot.
Digowa is hot, yeah.
Okay, so is that a term?
Yeah, I think it is like a hot, sexy night kind of. Oh, I know. I know what it was. They love to shorten words, kind of like the way we do acronyms. So it's a dubam.
Yes.
That's the first initial of digowun. So du and then palm is night.
Okay.
That's what that was. Not du,
Diggle bum.
They're there and they're kind of like trying to figure out what to do next. And I think she says, oh, can I come up for ramen? Which is code for you want to Netflix and chill. So when you're like, oh, you want to come up to my place for ramen? That usually means you want to go and have sex. Then the modern generation changed that to, do you want to meet my cat?
No, they didn't.
And 9 times out of 10, there was no cat to be seen.
Pussy time? Come pet my pussy. I like the ramen better.
Yeah, that's...
A cat makes me uncomfortable.
That is, yeah, it feels dirty.
In her attempt to stay by him all night, she basically is acting like a lunatic in his apartment. She won't leave. Then she's sitting at the table and he's like, I'm not depressed. Look, I'm just taking...
Multivitamins. That's 7 of them.
Multivitamin?
Oh my gosh. Again, I mean, that was beautiful. It sounded French. Multivitamin.
Right. Multivitamin.
Multivitamin.
Omega 3. I've been taking my omega 3s lately.
It's supposed to be great for you. And he, again, his energy is just like, it's very noticeable.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem depressed. He's very like lively.
We have some hijinks. In-hyuk comes over. She gets crammed into a closet. She hears from In-hyuk how much Sunjay's been thinking about her for 15 years. And then she finds the time capsule that he had it.
We find out that all this time, he was working so hard to get that time capsule. He's like the protester that we have in the Bay Area that are trying to get into Berkeley Park. They're just like camping out at the site because these construction people are there trying to redevelop. And he's like, no, you cannot do it. This is the site of the time capsule. But what we find out that was in the time capsule was a clock, a wind-up clock.
And a letter.
And a letter.
That was going to be my guess, was a letter. So the present is time. Literally. They go home. He's dropping her off. And she finally, Kobek, confesses to him.
Yeah.
She goes upstairs. She takes the elevator. He's running up these flights of stairs to follow her.
When he grabs the door.
She pulls him in. And we get our episode 8 makeout session.
Finally. And it was a good one.
Oh, it was good.
It was a great makeout.
I mean, it's doorway makeout, up against the wall. Ugh, drop that purse, girl. Mm-hmm. It's basically very well known in K-drama world that episode 8 is when the big kiss happens, and we got a big one. I mean, we've already had a kiss in episode 3. That was already kind of huge at the pool.
Ah.
As teenagers.
Yes,
but right. This is their first
adult. She was drunk.
She was drunk. And this is their first sober adult kiss.
Yeah. And then we end up with really the canary in the coal mine because Hyunju, her best friend, the whole B storyline, you know, she had a baby with Seol's brother, yada, yada, yada. And they're sitting there and they're talking about how differently their lives have diverged, right? And Hyunju like has 2 kids. Seol is single and has this great career. Hyunju, the best friend, says, you never know what the future has in store and you don't know until you get there. So I would never gamble with my fate is what she said.
Which is all Seol's been doing. Her fate and Sunjay's fate. Yeah. Because they're like dating now. They're like back and forth texting. Oh my gosh, yes,
that was very cute.
Oh my God, Dad.
But then, although he called her 8 times and I was like, this is stalkerish freak behavior.
He has been waiting for 15 years.
But 8 times, okay, 1 time is enough. She will see it. I mean, do you like it when a guy calls you 8 times?
He's just, no. But he's also so thirsty for her affection. And like, she literally went from 0 to 100. He's going to absorb this 100 as much as he can.
So she goes to the garage to get her car. And then they just like, more hijinks. Sunjay's on his balcony.
So now we're getting vibes of 2008 again. And so we end episode 8. The news is saying that Sunjay is going to the hospital. He's been critically wounded.
By an unidentified attacker.
In this life again, she's changed maybe the why.
Yeah, the mechanics of how he got there.
But she hasn't necessarily changed the what.
Yeah.
And she has one more try. So that's how we end episode 8. I mean, he's not dead. So we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, he better not be because we've got 8 more episodes.
We still need to see her go back one more time and give it a go.
Do you think that she has any opportunity to go back to time travel? Because she doesn't have the watch anymore.
That's right. She doesn't have the watch. We guess we'll see. We'll see you next week. We will be back with episodes 9 and 10. Thanks for being on the ride with us. We will talk to you next week. Bye.